everyone, and welcome back to Relatable. Today's guest is Juan. Do you mind if I say your last name?
Try it out.
Juan Aguirrevere.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Hey, Juan. How are you?
Good, good. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. So welcome to my podcast. It is Relatable. How do you feel?
I feel relatable because I'm in a booth that I've been a billion times, and I'm talking to somebody who I've talked a million times, so this is pretty good. It's gonna be fun.
Okay. So just a little background story. I met Juan here in our college while we were doing Noticias, which is a Spanish segment for our school. And at first, I was a little intimidated by you. I'm not going to lie. Because, no, I'm serious. Because you just always, like, acted so professional, always dressed very, like, has like a bow tie and like very like clean cut. I was like, whoa, like this guy knows what he's doing.
But she was completely wrong. I did not know what I was doing.
Little did I know, Juan is just a goofball.
Yeah, facts.
Just like spitting out words, just saying the craziest things ever, making everyone laugh. He's just like the clown.
Yeah, but at the same time, I do it just to like make people comfortable around me because I really hate being in a room that's quiet and nothing is happening. And I respect the work side, so I let people work. But at the same time, when I have a chance to put a smile on somebody's face, I like that.
Yeah. So once I noticed that side of Juan, I was like, oh, it's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. I don't have to be nervous whatsoever. So Juan, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell the people some juicy information about you.
I don't know, dude. I like memes a lot.
Memes?
I like memes. I like the YouTube community. I think it's fun. I like it a lot because it's a medium where you can just say what you want not say exactly what you want, but pretty much like have an idea and perform that idea using video, and then people around the world can see what you're up to, and you can do like the weirdest things and get like a bunch of views, which sometimes I hate some of the weird things, but hey, they're getting views. And like sometimes you see some weird things that maybe you like and you start getting views. Like for example, Mr. Beast, which is a podcast, all he does is give money away to like his friends or random people. And for some reason that attracts me to him and his personality and his team of like friends. And it's just things like that that I really like. And there's a lot of memes within it. If you watch PewDiePie nowadays, it's
PewDiePie's a big one.
Completely different, yeah, from like 10 years ago. And it's fun how you see these characters, these people that are putting out content change over the years, and then you're changing with them, and either you stay with them or you don't. Mm-hmm. And then that's when channels start dying.
Yeah. What's a channel that has died that you really enjoyed and wish could come back?
Oh, a channel that died and I wish it could come back. Well, there was Max Mofo is this crazy Australian dude a lot of the stuff that he does was questionable, but, you know, his channel, he hasn't uploaded there for a long time, I think 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it was just like he had a group of friends, which included the Pink Man. I don't know if you remember from Con los terroristas, bam, bam, bam.
Oh, yes,
man.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Pink Man, Filthy Frank, that's like his alter ego. I forget his real name. He's a rapper now. But they would get together and they would do the craziest things. It was borderline disgusting, borderline crazy, but impressive in its own little way. I wish like he would have more ideas and upload more, but I think he's tired of that. He has a podcast that is really fun now.
Do you listen to his podcasts?
Well, it's not his podcast. It's his friend. Anything for Views, that's his name. It's just this big guy that just drinks with Max, and then they bring like a guest. I think the last video I watched, it was a little guy that's like 26, but he's short, and he's just like a crazy scientist that makes robots and stuff like that, and it was pretty crazy. They had like a taser they were playing around with.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I had to check it out.
They had to chug a beer, and if you didn't chug it in time, they would tase you.
It's fun and goofy. Love
yeah, it's goofy, but it's goofy in its own way, and they talk about sometimes questionable things that maybe a lot of people wouldn't find too nice, but if you see like their little like thing, what they do as an art, then you'd appreciate it.
So now back to you. You're a senior, right?
Yes. I've been a senior for a while.
That's okay. So what do you plan on doing once your senior career is over?
So I've always wanted to be a football commentator, but football meaning soccer.
Yeah.
Not, you know, the American football.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always wanted to be a commentator. I want to do it in English. I don't know why. Spanish is pretty cool, but I can speak in Spanish, and but it's just not comfortable for me. Yeah, I do have hiccups with English, and sometimes I forget a word here or there. My first language is Spanish, but I like English so much, and I like the English commentator so much. And even the American ones, there's a couple of good ones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But point is, I just feel like that's like what I would be best at in this world. I like communicating, I like talking, I like tweeting, I like getting into the sport. And soccer is honestly what I loved growing up. I didn't like going to school. I like going to school to talk to people, and I like soccer because of the social aspect. And if you mix them both, I think commentator is like a pretty good, I understand the game very well too. So like,
and don't you play too?
I played here in Florida in the club's team. Fun fact, the Florida soccer club team was the first club team, university club team, to ever spark up, to ever, you know, become a soccer club. And we have the most national titles, and we won one in 2018. So we have a pretty good team, and I was a part of that team. I started left back for a while, and then school got real, and I had to stop playing. But it was really cool. And I played in Venezuela, in Puerto Rico, and in Miami.
Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
When did you play in Puerto Rico?
I lived in Puerto Rico for 3 years.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how long ago?
I moved out of Venezuela when I was 9. Then I moved to Puerto Rico when I was 9. And left when I was 11. So
okay.
I spent there like 3 years. I know 9-11 doesn't make sense. Like 9 to 11 doesn't make sense. But it actually, like, because of how the months worked and the months that we got there and stuff like that, it was like 3 years, like on the dot.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know you lived in Puerto Rico. How did you like Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is like a paradise. They call it La Isla del Encanto for that reason. Just like a beautiful, people are always smiling. They're cracking jokes. They complain, but who doesn't complain?
Who doesn't complain?
Right? But they're cool people, and they're always welcoming and for the most part, nice.
Have you been back since?
Yeah, I've been to Puerto Rico many times. I've only been to Venezuela once, and it was 3 weeks after I moved out of Venezuela that I went back just for some papers, but I've never gone back to Venezuela. But Puerto Rico, I've gone back like 4 or 5 times. Mm. It's awesome.
What place would you recommend for someone who's traveling?
Well, for somebody who's traveling, like, you can go to, of course, like El Viejo San Juan. That's the first place I'd recommend for you to go. They also have the largest telescope in the world.
No way.
Right? So, yeah, observatory. The largest observatory in the world. It's located towards like the middle, the northern part of the island. It's close to El Yunque. And El Yunque is the other place where I would go. It's this mountain that has springs like we do here in like around Gainesville, that there's many springs. But over there, it's in the mountains. So they're beautiful. You can see straight through them. And there's a little bit of wildlife in there. And it's really nice.
I might have to plan a trip.
You should, because I'm going to go soon. So,
are you?
Yeah.
Are you going for summer break?
For summer break? No, there's no summer break for me.
Because
I'm taking reporting, and reporting is crazy.
But that's okay. It's going to help you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't your writing gotten better?
My writing has gotten a lot better, and that's because I've taken the class twice now. So, yes.
Don't ask to know. Well, now everyone will know.
Well, you know, like, it's kind of hard when you love sports so much and you like writing about sports, and they tell you you can't write about sports in this class.
You have to write like an investigative report or something.
I understand why they don't want me to write about sports, because they've probably had a lot of people like me that are like sports head, and they're just tired of listening to the same stories, and they're very repetitive. They are. But one of my goals as a sports writer is not to be like the one next to me and like create my own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. I just wrote a piece that got published here, and it got retweeted by the UF soccer Twitter page, and it was about two UF alumni who graduated here, played soccer here, and now they represent Jamaica in the World Cup.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm working on that World Cup project right now, but I got to interview Lauren Silver, who's one of them. Mm-hmm. Ivana Solaun, I couldn't interview her, sadly, because she had like a special thing going on with FIFA, and her papers weren't all right, so she couldn't travel with the team at the time. But I went down to Miramar, and I was able to interview her and wrote a solid story, and now it's up, and it's nice.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's a good feeling to get published.
Yeah, definitely, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for someone, if you were to talk to, let's say, like a little kid, or just someone who is an aspiring sports commentator, what would you advise them to do?
You know, like, I've thought about this before, and it would be kind of awkward for me, because, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do as a little kid.
Yeah. No, and but this person, like, knows.
I know. But even getting somebody that know and, like, selling them something that maybe they won't, like, they don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, in 6 years, if he's going to change his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely share whatever insight I have. I would tell them, you know, keep working hard. They're going to tell you no a bunch of times because, you know, when people go edit your papers, every time they make a correction, it's like a no, a no, a no. And sometimes it's a no because grammatically or, you know, like there's a style, like AP style or something, and you need to change it. And other times it's just like the way that you thought in that moment and you tried to put this information down on paper. And in the commentating side, well, I haven't done much commentating. I'm going to do play-by-play next semester, so I'll let you know then, but I would just tell them to try to go to a good school that has a place where you can practice it and get better at it.
Okay.
Or do it by yourself.
Let's do a little shameless plug for you here. Don't you have a podcast of your own?
Oh, well, I do have a podcast of my own. I closed it. One day I woke up and I saw what I had done and I was really proud of it and I was really happy. The content was good. Worked really hard on the podcast, maybe even harder than what I should have, because there were some things that were so impractical that I tried doing, and I thank myself that I did it, but at the same time, it's like, oh my God, I went through so much trouble, and now I can do this so much easier. But point is, it was like my pilot. You know, every series has a pilot episode. The Office had that pilot episode. It was kind of quirky and awkward, but it was funny in the end. Like, it was a little bit, you know, you got a good taste of what, like, The Office was gonna do. And look at The Office now. So I think about it and I choose The Office because first it's a series that I like a lot
and a lot of people can relate to.
And that's how I feel about that podcast, like the podcast that I had for a year. That was my pilot. Now on to better things. You know, leave that behind, try to build up. And that's what I'm doing right now with the current podcast that I have right now with the school, which is the Gator Congregation podcast. Okay. You can find it on SoundCloud.
She was called Juana Guerreres, one of the anchors.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. I didn't know that. Dang. Okay. Tell us of an embarrassing moment that you've had while, I don't know, your experience here at school or during your podcast or just your life in general.
Okay. I'm going to tell you like one that's like I look back on it now and I laugh. But dude, I was terrified. So it's like the first show of Noticias.
Okay.
I was the anchor.
Yeah.
I had never anchored anything in my life. Not even like an anchor on a ship or anything. Nothing. Like, I just had never done that. And I remember being outside down there in the plaza down there in Weimar and just pacing up and down, like choosing my corner so I can go cry there. And I called my mom and I'm just like, Mom, like, how am I going to, like, I am going on TV or like Facebook Live and this is going to be recorded and I'm going to be reading. I'm not very good at reading. I haven't read Spanish in a long time. Mom, it's going to be terrible. And my mom, you know, like she did the whole, oh, it's going to be okay. You're good. You're my favorite son. No, she does. You imagine? No, but I have two little brothers and she loves them all equally, apparently. But yeah, that was a pretty embarrassing moment that I look back on and I understand.
Did you mess up during the show?
Oh, of course, dude. I was doing like some coding, tapping on the. I look back at that with all the people that were involved. And what I was doing is that I was looking at the camera like very, like, you know, my chest puffed out and everything, but I was freaking out. So the way that I like transmitted my freakouts were by tapping the table with my finger, and it looked like I was trying to send a subliminal message to I don't know who, but
it
people really made fun of me, and I was wearing a bow tie, so apparently the Telemundo people didn't like that, so I never
a bow tie.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because they said it's silly or like I shouldn't use it, and I'm like, dude, I look pretty good with
that's
it.
Like,
let
your
me
style
be.
Though.
Yeah, that's why they don't understand. You see, that's one of the no's, like opinionated no's that they give you. And you just got to be like, okay, I never wore a bow tie.
Aw, I have to go back and look at that one. That's so funny.
Yeah.
But now, like, if you were to look at Juan, well, he's not in Noticias anymore.
Yeah.
But if you were to look at, like, his other videos, he's, like, a pro at it.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Allegedly.
No, you are.
I'm okay. I definitely built built up some tolerance and I learned how to do it a little bit better. And when I was doing it with sports, it was easier.
Oh, yeah. Sports, like, you don't even need to read your script. You just know it off the top of your head. You're like, I saw this 2 minutes ago. Let's go.
If it's soccer, I could do it like that. If it's not soccer, then I get a little bit freaked out, you know, a little bit scared. But, yeah, you know.
But aren't you also reporting for, like, softball or something?
I reported for softball, but I'm going to be honest with you. I lost interest in it. Why did I lose interest in it? Because you, as a beat reporter, you could do more, but I chose not to do as much because I was focusing on my classes. I got all A's last semester, so that was good.
Nice.
But it's just like I didn't feel the connection with that sport as I feel it with soccer. So I would do the bare minimum.
Okay.
That's what I did. I did the bare minimum, went, took video, asked questions in the interviews. Never did a stand-up because, I don't know, it's just like, I just wouldn't sound natural when I tried them. And then after a while, I gave up, and I shouldn't have. I should have, like, tried it a couple times, and, you know, but I just don't want something that I just don't feel comfortable with. You know, I don't like doing things that I don't feel comfortable with. And that was one of the things, just like when Dania invited me to Telemundo Academy. I didn't want to do Telemundo Academy because I knew that I didn't want to do news. So, like, it just, there are things that could help you in that academy or doing softball and, like, doing, like, extra things. But I don't know. I didn't feel it. And I'm a person that when I don't feel something, you know, I kind of, like, leave it aside.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Mm. But what other sports have you tried reporting?
We write here at WRUF. We write for different sports. I've written about tennis. I've written about baseball, basketball, NBA finals, the NCAA tournament, like, anything. I wrote the other day, I think last week, about new NCAA regulations that they're, like, bringing the three-point line a little bit further back.
Mm.
So, like, I literally write about, like, anything. Not too much reporting, like, going and talking with people. The last one that I did was the UF Gator Soccer one with the Jamaican team, which was a really cool one.
Okay. But if, like, let's say soccer didn't exist.
Oh, my God.
What would be your backup sport?
I Formula One, like when I was in Venezuela, I used to do a lot of go-karting and I used to compete and I really liked getting into a car, going fast and testing like how much power it had. And Mandy, I was like a little kid. I started doing this when I was like 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And by like age 7, 8, I was already competing in under 10s, under 9s, going to Colombia to like race over there. And it's funny because I met a kid called Prieto da Cunha. And right now he's a Formula 2 driver whose his grandfather was Pedro Fittipaldi, or I forget his name, but it's the Fittipaldi family, and he's a part of the Fittipaldi family. Oh, my God, I can't say the name. But we met in high school in Ronald Reagan in down there in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So we met up, and I knew who he was, and he knew who I was because we remembered each other.
Yeah.
And then we just started talking about F1, and we just started talking about cars and stuff like that, and it was really fun. And
we reconnected.
And we reconnected, yeah. We're not best of friends or anything, or we don't talk anymore, but it was
but
nice.
Definitely like acquaintances.
Yeah. I mean, if I see him, I'll be like, yo, Pietro, what's up? And he would do the same. So, yeah, if anything, I'd love to have a professional relationship with him, like, later on.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
You know, he's probably going to stick with the Formula One stuff because he's pretty good.
Okay, now, I might be a little ignorant in this topic, but, like, does Formula 3 exist?
I have no idea. Probably. It would be probably, like, a more, like, juvenile one. I think there might be such a thing. Maybe not called Formula 3, but.
Okay. Well, you said F Formula 1, Formula 2, so I'm like, is there a 3 to 4?
It's like, yeah, it's like soccer leagues.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes into so much, and then it's amateur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you, I think I asked this already, but maybe, I don't know. What do you plan on doing after school?
After
school's over? Like, are you freaking out about it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not freaking out about it yet, but the other day, Gator Vision sent me an email, like a guy from Gator Vision, and he was like, do you have any reel on, like, anything that you've edited or anything?
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I've edited a bunch of stuff, and I've, like, done a lot of work, but most of it, like, it stays on the computers, and then the computers get erased after a while, and they're done, but I don't save it. So I didn't really have much to send them, so I sent them, like, a little bit, and I'm waiting for a response, but, like, same thing. Like, I have my podcast. I have this podcast that I'm, like, saving all of it so I can have it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the beat reporter for soccer next season, and also I'm going to be doing commentating. So.
You have a lot going for you.
Yeah, I can do, like, a.
But you're not thinking about, like, after college.
I'm thinking in order. So I'm thinking about the fall semester first.
Okay.
After, like, I said that I was going to apply for jobs in October.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are you looking? Are you looking here to stay like?
I'm applying to every single MLS team. I'm going to talk to a guy from Australia who mm-hmm. I think is the best option for a commentating job right out of college. He's been following me around and kind of showing me the ways and giving me tips here and there and Twitter. And my Twitter has grown a little bit, you know. I started my personal Twitter. I had the FSF one for my podcast, and then I started my personal Twitter. And in just like 6 months, I think I have like 160 followers or something like that, and all from like rock bottom. And it's cool. And I have 160 followers, but I would say like 30 of them, you know, they're very interactive. You know, people that I haven't met, people that I know from before, friends, family, even my mom gets in there and she likes soccer and she likes me. So I hope more people are like my mom in the future.
So how do you feel your current social media is helping you right now? Like,
oh, I mean, I do so much through it. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for social media, people wouldn't know who I am.
Yeah.
Like people that I'm interested. Like I got followed yesterday. Was Venezuela against USA, and I was covered. I mean, those are my two countries, like my two nationalities, pretty much. Like I'm an American citizen, but I was born in Venezuela, and I feel a type of way for both. But in the end of the day, like, you know, I think Venezuela is the one that needs somebody to report for them. Like, there's not a big voice over here, so I was doing that. And there's this player, Solomon Rondon, who plays for Newcastle United, an English club. Mm-hmm. And Lee Ryder is pretty much the lead editor for The Chronicle. And it's a paper in Newcastle. And he takes care of anything sports related with the team, with the Newcastle team. And I really like his work. Well, he followed me back. And
He
followed me back. And that was really cool. I was talking about Rondon. About him reaching a goal, like he became a Venezuela top scorer against the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
when Venezuela won 3-0 in Cincinnati this week. And it was nice. And that's what I'm saying. Going back to the question, it helps me grow. It helps me grow. It helps me connect with people that I could have never connected if it wasn't for it. And hopefully one day these people start noticing me more and more and more, and there's more people, and they give me a platform, they give me a chance to go in their podcast, to go right for them, to do the smallest thing. And once I get that chance, I'm going to tackle it, and I'm going to make a dent. You know, I'm going to make them remember who I am.
Yeah, make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
What have you had a freak out moment yet where, like, a person that you admire so much, like, either followed you, retweeted you, responded to you?
Yeah, Lee Ryder following me back was really good. Alex Goldberg, who has like my favorite podcast, followed me back, and that was awesome. And I was able to like talk with him like on direct messages. I got really excited. I was like, thank you so much, Alex. And he was like, oh, no problem. You've been showing a lot of support. So that really, you know, that helps me out. That helps me out. For somebody like that to follow me every month or something like that, that means that I'm heading the right way. And I'm also not completely despicable. And people that are famous are liking me. So that's cool.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Kyle Martino, who's like my favorite, I would say. Kyle Martino is a commentator / analyst for the Premier League for NBC. And he's kind of like my favorite. And he's retweeted or like commented on my pictures before or liked them. My tweets. And that's really cool too.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
What is your favorite soccer team? Now, this may be a little difficult for you because you just love soccer in general. But like, do you have a favorite team?
So, my favorite team is Manchester United. We're not good. We have the most money. We have the most wages, like expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was reading a book earlier, and wage expenditures is it's one of the factors that really defines if a team is good or not. And the thing is, we've been wasting a lot of money on players that don't deserve those wages. And that's our problem right now. And it's really hard to get away from this problem because you know how contracts work. They're really hard to get off from them. And you offer a player a contract, they sign it. It's 4 years right there. Like you got to keep that player, or three, before somebody wants to buy them. The longer the contract, the more expensive the players are because they got much more time on that contract. But we're having that trouble, and it's really affecting us, and Man United.
I love
is
how
not
you
very good.
You're just like part of it, or like you feel like you're part of them already because you just keep saying we.
Yeah, no, I say we, and my cousin hates it when I say we, but it's just that's how I feel. So you're not gonna make me feel some other type of way just because it sounds silly that we say we. And I say we, but at the same time, I'm very tough on the team, and I'm very tough on their performances and on the players. And if they're not playing up to par, which they haven't for the past like 6 years, like I'm gonna let it be known. I'm not gonna give them credit when credit is not due. Yeah. So I love the Premier League, though. I love the league. I love soccer itself. So I really love when I – it's just something that, you know, you see something that's beautiful, you respect it, you know. And that's how the sport is for me as a whole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now just tell us, what would you like to share with the people? Maybe not soccer-related, just Juan Aguirre-related.
So lately I've been trying to like get to stream video games, but it's like the hardest thing ever, apparently. I just want to do it for fun because I picked up this video game. It's called Apex Legends, and I'm really, really, really good at it. It brings me back to my Modern Warfare 2 days back when I was like 13, and it's fun. My friends are good at it. I'm really good at it.
So do you have a Twitch?
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to like stream my Xbox on with my computer, but it's like... I don't know if it's like that I'm stupid or like that it's too difficult, but it's either or because
find a YouTube tutorial. I'm sure there's something.
I've tried like three, four of them, and I still can't figure it out. I think I'm stupid. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Juan. I think it just might be you.
Yeah, dude. It's like remember when what was it when like in classes when we were younger, like when we were in high school or middle school.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, the printer's not working. This machine isn't working, and your teacher would be like, oh, maybe it's a person who's handling it. And yeah, it's one of those moments. I think.
Yeah. And you have like the perfect setup too, right? Because I know you have like two monitors, I think.
I have two monitors. One is huge. One shouldn't even be a monitor. It's borderline a TV without speakers, which I should have just gotten a TV. But it's a monitor. And the other one is a smaller, like more like a computer monitor.
Yeah. So one you can have like, how does Twitch work? You have like your chat on one screen and then like the game on the other.
So I, you know, like if I were to play, okay, so my computer, I built it with my cousin. It's not as powerful as other computers. So
it's
these,
not a gaming computer.
No, my computer is a gaming computer, but it's not a gaming computer that can also stream. Like you need, like there's a processor and that processor needs to take in a lot of things that the computer, you know, a lot of coding that the computer's doing and stuff like that. So it's a lot of information that the computer needs to read. If you're playing a video game, that's a lot of info. If you're playing a video game and mirroring it in like in a stream, like that's even harder. So I need $200 more if I want to do what I want to do on the computer. So I do have the $200, but I only have like $600, so I don't want to spend the $200.
Like prioritize it a little bit.
Yeah, there's no way I can buy a better processor now.
Yeah. Well, first you have to figure out how to stream from your computer before you start.
I know how to do that. I know how to do it from the computer. Is that before I was trying to do it from the Xbox
to the computer,
you know, so I can have like my face and because I have a webcam and everything.
Yeah.
And I got it set up nicely so that my face comes out. But I don't know what. I'm trying to learn OBS, which is the system, the streaming system.
Okay. Well, if anyone knows OBS, the system, contact Juan on his Twitter.
Yeah,
what's your Twitter?
My
plug.
J_AGUERREVERE, caps UF.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. That last name gets everyone.
Yeah.
No one can say it.
My dad always tells me, oh, you should change your name. Like, for example, your name is Juan. You should just go with J and then use your second last name, which is Mantellini. And it's easier to say. But I'm like, I think it's a little bit too late for that, father.
You're like telling me, when did he tell you this?
He's been telling me this for like a year and a half.
Oh, okay. He's like, yeah.
But I never felt too comfortable with it, you know? It's like...
Yeah, you don't look like a Mantellini. What is it?
Mantellini.
You don't look like a Mantellini.
I look more like a Guerrero.
Yeah, you do.
And he's the one telling me to change. Like, come on, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, thank you so much, Juan, for coming out and being one of my guests on my podcast. Enjoyed having you here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Once again, shameless plug to Juan Aguirre, who is a sports writer.
Yeah.
/ reporter.
/
And is coming up with
host.
This podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's already up, like the podcast.
Right.
I'll give you the information. It's the Gator Congregation in SoundCloud.
Okay. That's so any is. Sports fans out there?
For just, soccer.
Yeah, for soccer.
FIFA Women's World Cup. That's what we're covering right now.
Okay. Any, yeah, and just any fans of soccer. go out and listen to Juan's podcast and look at all his stuff that he's writing and support people.
Yeah, I got a team of writers, so they're pretty good too. So we should all get some love.
Yeah, share the love, people. Share the love. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming out. Hope you enjoyed it.
No, it was really nice. It was literally like any other conversation that we would have, any other long conversation that we would have in the newsroom. So it was really cool.
Perfect. All right, I'll see you later, guys.
Awesome.
Bye.
Peace.